Today on More to Life, power outage. Feeling stuck, facing a problem in your life or relationships you're not sure what to do about. We're going to help you reclaim your God-given power and strength. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, power outage. We're talking about those times when we feel stuck, or maybe we're facing a problem in our life or relationships that we're just not sure what to do about, especially when we've tried to do some stuff about it before and it hasn't quite worked out. Well, we want to help you reclaim your God-given sense of power, strength, and clarity. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825.
You know, I know that sometimes in my life when I felt overwhelmed or not equal to something that I'm going through in my life, whether it's something that's become chronic, like you're talking about, Greg, you've tried to figure out what to do about it, it hasn't quite panned out the way you want it to, or when something brand new kind of gets thrown at you. It's really difficult to not just sort of get trapped in a sense of overwhelm, of just not knowing what to do. I actually talked to an old friend of mine yesterday, and she was saying life was going along just fine for her, and it just was a really simple thing that was making her overwhelmed, and that was cleaning up her house after the Christmas mess. Like she said, Lisa, I don't even feel equal to the task. I always keep a pretty neat and orderly home, and all of a sudden, it's like, once I get everything completely put away, she's about halfway there, she said, just taking on the floor, just taking on, like, putting things back where they belong after having the kids kind of run wild for all of their Christmas break, I'm still dealing with it, and it's making me feel like I just can't do it. She'll get through it bit by bit, and she might have to ask for help, you know, from her husband or from somebody else, but she'll get through it. But that's just a, you know, thing that comes up that made her feel overwhelmed. But if it's something that's even deeper in your life, that's making you concerned about your family's well-being, your own well-being, confused about what God wants you to do about something, that feeling of overwhelm can really make us feel stuck. Like we just don't have the energy or the power or the strength to fix it. And there are ways to take that on. And God has some really good plans for you, but we need to help you connect with those today. So give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Are you dealing with a problem in your life or relationships that you're just not sure what to do about? Where in your life or relationships do you feel tempted to say, I guess this is just the way it's going to be, even though something in your heart tells you that things aren't the way God wants them to be? Have your efforts to make a situation better not worked out the way you hoped, and now you're confused about what to do next? Maybe you've given a situation in your life or relationships to God, but you don't feel like anything's changing. Well, if you're feeling stuck or tempted to settle in any way, let us help you reclaim your God-given power to be an instrument of grace and change. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And as I was asking those questions, I'll bet you somebody popped up into your imagination there. You just saw them in front of your face. Or some situation kind of came back to you, and you were like, Yeah.
We all go through it, and we are really told by the world that that's not okay. You know, especially now, there's so much out there in terms of online content that makes everybody look like they have it so together. And then when we get that sense that you just said that, yeah, but this, and it can't work out, it's not just the situation, but then we pile on ourselves for not being enough.
Yeah, well, and it could be anything, right? From a challenging situation in your marriage to a strained relationship with an adult child or, you know, an elderly parent, you know, a difficult circumstance that you find yourself in, an unexpected change that you've been that's been sort of thrust on you. Whatever it is, we want to help you get to that place where you can think through it. Because here's the thing, even though those situations are all very different, it's possible to develop the kind of mindset that prevents you from feeling stuck no matter what. Right? Because you can be frustrated with a situation, you can wish you didn't have to go through it, you can kind of lose patience with it because it's taking too long to change, but you don't ever have to feel stuck if you can adopt the mindset that we're going to talk about throughout the program here, so that no matter what you're facing, you can have this sense of confidence that, okay, you know, it might take longer than I would have liked, but I can see what I need to do next. And then I can see what I might need to do next after that. And we want to help you approach those challenges with a sense of grace and a solution-focused mindset and be able to see it not through your own eyes that are tempted to make you settle, but through God's eyes and to see what's possible through His grace. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. If you're wondering, you know, well, how could some theology help me get unstuck? Well, great question, and here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, if we take everything that God's given us, everything from creation to scripture to salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and building healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And St. John Paul II told us in almost everything he did, but especially in the theology of the body, that God never created us to settle, especially when it comes to our lives and our relationships.
Well, that's right. St. John Paul taught that God planted deep longings in our hearts for love that doesn't fail, relationships that heal and strengthen us, and a life that reflects the power of His grace. And when we resign ourselves to saying, oh, this is just the way it is, we're not being humble. We're actually losing hope.
That's such an important distinction. Accepting reality isn't the same as settling. Acceptance lets us see things clearly so we can cooperate with God's grace. Settling says, it's fine, or nothing will change. Hear the Eeyore voice? And that actually blocks what God wants us to do.
Well, that's right. You know, and Pope Francis used to warn Christians against the spirit of mediocrity, the idea that doing nothing is somehow virtuous. Because, you know, God calls each of us to help make the world, and our little corner of the world, what He intends it to be.
When we feel stuck, we shouldn't keep trying to fix things on our own power. Instead, the first step is bringing the situation to God in constant prayer and asking, Lord, what do you want me to make of this situation? And what role do you want me to play?
So then we prayerfully reflect on what small step we can take that allows us to glorify God, be our best selves, and invite others to be their best selves too. Then we bring the results of that effort back to God and repeat the process.
And that's the real difference between settling and dying to ourselves.
Well, yeah, right. So settling is just giving up. But dying to ourselves actually means refusing to accept what can only be accomplished with our efforts or that we can see with our eyes. And instead leaning into grace, courageously working to make things what God is telling us He wants them to be. All right, so there's a lot there, but we want to unpack it in your life and help you identify the next steps you can take when you're feeling stuck about some challenge you're facing in your life or relationships. So give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. 7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many situations where we feel stuck and tempted to settle. Help us to know how you want us to respond to those situations and how you want us to cooperate with your grace to make them what you want them to be. Help us in all of those circumstances to not so much focus on the outcome, but on the importance of striving to do your will, so that in each situation we're able to respond step by step in ways that glorify you, that help us be our best selves, and that challenge the other people involved to be their best selves too, so that with each step we know that we are doing your will, and that we can trust that you are leading us and guiding us to the outcomes that you have in your heart and that you can see through your eyes. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel a little stuck. If we're facing a problem in our life or relationships that we're not quite sure what to do about, or we've tried to do something about it and it hasn't quite worked out the way we wanted, and now we're sort of tempted to settle. What do we do? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joanne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hi, Joanne. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us today?
Good morning. I find myself settling, I believe you guys said it was, as opposed to accepting our current state of life. My husband didn't get a promotion, so we're not moving now, and I have to look for a high school for one of my children, and it's just really disappointing. And I don't know how to make peace with that.
So you were planning on moving with the promotion. You didn't end up getting the promotion, but you're not moving. So why do you need a new high school? Why isn't everything just staying the way it is? Just so I can get a clear picture of what you're going through.
Oh, we were homeschooling in middle school. So
I see. So now, since high school's happening, so you feel that transition.
When you say that you're settling, what are you settling for exactly, or how are you settling?
Well, everyone was excited to move and do something new, go somewhere closer to potentially buy family.
Mm. And was that the goal? It was to be closer to family?
Yeah, that was one of the goals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the reason I'm asking this, okay, because when you're talking about settling, it's what we're really talking about here is, okay, you're focusing on your husband's promotion. That's a means to an end, right? And settling involves the end, right? So what were the ends you were hoping to be able to pursue, assuming he got the promotion? You being closer to family? Was there something else?
Just starting new projects at the new location for me and my work, potentially.
All right, so you're being vague, so I'm assuming you don't want to go into too much detail. So here's let me ask you this: Are you guys praying about any of this together? About what God's wanting you to do?
Not together, but we're separately praying about it for sure.
is there a reason you're not praying together?
Just time, our schedules, and not put forth that effort.
All right, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Among other things, that God is using this challenge to invite you to a different level in your relationship, specifically spiritually. Because if a couple isn't praying together, then you can't have a Christian marriage. You can have a marriage with two Christians in it, but if you're not praying together and asking God every day, hey God, how do you want us to relate to each other as husband and wife? How do you want us to, what kind of family do you want us to be? Where are you leading us next? If you're not bringing these goals, Lord, it's on my heart to be closer to family. It's on my heart to try some new things with work. It's on our hearts to do this, that, the other thing. How do we work together to get there? Show us what you want us to do. If you guys aren't praying together like that every day, then you're just trying to figure stuff out on your own. And you're going to be doomed to settle because we tend to latch on to, well, this is how I think it could work. And then when that doesn't work out, then we feel stuck. But if you're bringing those things to God in prayer every day, if that's on your heart, right, what you need to be doing every day with your husband, and in certain areas with your kids too, is saying, okay, Lord, you know, it's on our hearts to do X, or, you know, we're longing for Y. We have no idea how to make that happen. So first of all, if it's not from you, take this away, so we don't desire this any longer. But if it doesn't go away, you need to assume that God is giving you that longing and that he has a plan for meeting it. So then the next step in that prayer is, okay, Lord, we've given this to you, you know, and if you do take it away, that's fine. We'll keep giving it back to you. But if that desire is still there, we're going to assume that you have a plan for fulfilling it. So tell us what the next step is. This plan didn't work out, but you can see lots of other ways to get there. How would you make this happen? How do you want us to respond to this setback so that we can keep moving toward this desire you've placed on our heart in ways that do glorify you? And that's going to that's not just a one-off thing. That's an everyday prayer that you're really seeking his will. Because here's the thing. And this is what I was saying to you earlier. I was saying, you know, you're focusing sort of on the means instead of the end, right? Because by saying, well, my husband didn't get the promotion, and therefore we can't do X, Y, and Z. Well, that was the way you thought it was going to happen.
Right? And you're entitled to be shocked. You're entitled to be, you know, kind of feel like you've hit a wall right now. But when you begin this kind of prayer and discernment together, that's when you get the insights that God wants you to have.
That's right, because there are many different ways that God could, if the goal is to be closer to family, there are many different ways to make that happen. And God knows what those ways would be. I don't, you don't right now, but coming to him together in prayer, that's how you're going to find it out. And the other piece of this too, you know, we have a tendency to think, well, you know, why does God care about these little things? I mean,
he
cares about them because we care about them, but even more importantly, because he cares about a relationship with us.
Exactly.
And he uses these things as a way of getting us to come into a deeper relationship with him and the people we're supposed to be in community with. And so the fact that you and your husband are praying separately kind of doesn't count in a sense, because here's what happens, all right? When couples pray separately, God gives one piece of the puzzle to you and one piece of the puzzle to your spouse. We have a tendency to assume that that piece of the puzzle is the whole picture. And then we say, okay, well, God, I'm going to go do that then. And then if it doesn't work out, or our spouse disagrees with us, then we feel frustrated. But what God's really doing is he's giving you one piece, he's giving your husband another piece, and for some situations that need to be discerned as a family, he's giving each of your kids a piece. What he's expecting you to do is to come together in prayer and discussion and do it. And Joanne, it's not a question of you don't have time. It's that I believe that nobody taught you, and it doesn't come naturally to you. Yeah. You're like a lot of Catholic couples, right? But you need to learn how, and I'm going to give you a resource to do that. We did a book called Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, and it talks all about how to integrate prayer into your daily life, how to discern things together as a couple, how to really start hearing God's voice clearly speaking through the desires of your hearts in ways that are healthy, and other resources. And I believe with all of my heart that God does want to satisfy the longings of your heart, but he's asking you to do it in a way that's going to draw you and your husband and him, God, closer together through this process of prayer and discernment. So I hope that these give you a way forward.
And I just want to address very briefly the time element of praying together. This doesn't have to be, okay, we're going to do, you know, a full rosary every single day about this thing. If you feel called to that and you can make the time, great. But just start with waking up in the morning and bringing all these thoughts to the Lord. Lord, it's another day. We're frustrated. We don't know what you want us to do. I would like this. My kids would like that. My husband wants this. Together, while you're lying in bed, hold hands and just talk to God for 5 minutes together and say, Lord, as we go through our day, please help us begin to see what you're calling us to do. And then really go through that book and see how you can pray more together. Because not only are you not hearing God, but I think you're holding a lot of your emotions away from each other as you both struggle to figure this out on your own so you can be the one with the answer, and that's even more frustrating.
So again, the name of the book, if you're looking for more guidance on this, is Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's published by Word Among Us Press, and you can get it at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. praying for and with your spouse the way to deeper love. If you'd like more direct guidance on this, you can also reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I think that the suggestions we've given you here on the show will give you some good stuff to work with. And if you want to call us back with any other questions you've got, don't hesitate to do so. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Are you facing a change that's caused you to feel a little stuck, even tempted to settle? And we want to help you discover how to connect with God's grace and reclaim the power, the clarity, and the strength that God wants to give you to be able to begin.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
It's a new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage. As we talk about those times when we feel stuck, like we're facing a problem in our life or relationships that we're not sure what to do about, and maybe feel like we need to settle. How can we connect with God's grace and become instruments of change? Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama.
Sarah, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I have a situation that repeats itself and is stuck. I have all our kids are, we raised our kids Catholic, went to Catholic schools. We had a strong Catholic family. And there's five kiddos, three older boys, two younger girls. And the oldest son, when they were youngsters, sexually abused the two daughters. Okay, so there starts the problem. We went through a lot of interventions and talked a lot. One daughter talked to us about it. The other one completely denied the situation. And she now, the one that denied everything, and we really didn't even know that she was involved until she was in her 20s and she came to us. And at this point, she's about 25. She feels very angry, and she states basically that, well, there's no one to be angry at. You know, you intervened as soon as you knew something. You attempted to, you know, do everything possible to fix the situation. The family pretty much has kind of healed over and moved on, with the exception of her. And like I said, she kind of came late on into the scene, so maybe that's a reason for that. But there's been a lot of talking, a lot of dealing with issues, but when she chooses to bring it up, it'll come out of the blue, and it's like she throws darts, really angry, mean, ugly things. and it will just turn into a little tornado of emotion, and she will drag everyone into that. And we apologize, we recognize her pain, and then it gets just like even more painful, and she'll try and reach at many other things, any incidents that she can think of, and some of them that maybe aren't even quite real. She'll reach out there and just really get ugly about things, and then she'll talk herself into a wheel almost that there's not a way to fix it. And we'll talk about prayer, we'll talk about counseling, we'll talk about, you know, have you talked to your priest? And she'll say that God doesn't care, and she's really mad, and she'll want to leave the family. And periodically, she'll kind of not talk to anyone for quite some time, but then she'll just decide to pop back in and start the whole thing over again. What do you do with that?
Okay. So you're wanting help with this sort of cycle, or you're looking for specifically how to respond to her when she's kind of unloading on you? What's the
either end or both.
And what is she doing to try to heal herself?
She has gone to counseling, not Catholic counseling, but just more of a secular counselor. And
fine.
The things that she said this counselor has said has been reasonable. You know, the counselor too listens to her and says, you know, she's like, you don't have anybody to be angry at, and that's what you're saying. She's like, well, what do you think you need to do? And then it kind of devolves from there.
Okay. And so we have to go to our hard break here, but I want you to stick around for after the break, because I want to ask you a couple of follow-up questions, and then I'll be able to offer some thoughts on how to move forward with this. So, Sarah, thanks for hanging in there. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're helping you get unstuck and stop settling in your life for relationships. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. Where there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
What is the origin of marriage? The Catholic Catechism tells us God the Father instituted the marital union with our first parents, Adam and Eve. He clearly established it as a covenant between a man and a woman when he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of his people's hearts. But when Jesus came, he restored the original order as planned by his Father. He declared that a true marriage was indissoluble. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. The Church attaches great importance to the fact that Jesus' first miracle occurred at a wedding, signaling that henceforth marriage will be an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. The key to being effective at handling conflict is keeping a close eye on our own emotional temperature. On a scale of 1 to 10, you never want to allow yourself to get over a 7, especially when you're in disagreement with someone. How do you know when you're getting too hot? One of the first behavioral signs that we are approaching a 7 on our emotional temperature scale is that we start to speak and act too quickly for our brain to keep up. We start to trip over our words. We make silly, avoidable mistakes like knocking over a glass that we're reaching for. When our emotional temperature gets too high, we lose track of details, which makes it harder to solve problems and often makes us do and say things that make problems even worse. To lower your stress temperature, one deceptively simple technique is to deliberately slow down. Speak a little more slowly than you want to. Or instead of thinking of all the things you have to do next, focus your mind on what you're doing now. Consciously slowing down lets your thinking brain catch up with your feeling brain, which lets your whole brain work on resolving the conflict. To learn more, check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage. As we talk about those times when we feel a little powerless, you know, those situations where we feel stuck in our life or relationships, where we're facing a problem that we don't quite know what to do with or that we've tried to handle and our efforts haven't paid off. Instead of settling, we want to help you connect more deeply with God's grace and find the next steps forward. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Sarah in Alabama. She was sharing that that two of her daughters had been sexually abused by one of her sons, and that the family had gone through a lot of work, a lot of counseling. They've done a lot of the right things to heal from that. But the second daughter, who was abused, did not come forward with this until she was in her 20s and is an adult now. And while the first daughter was able to work through these things with the family as the family was doing that work, this adult daughter, because she's coming out a little bit later with this information, was not able to really benefit from that process. And she's got a lot of anger, and she's taking it out on Sarah. She's lashing out at the whole family. She is in counseling, but Sarah's just wondering, how do I handle this cyclical pattern where, you know, she'll unload on us, and, you know, we try to apologize, we try to support her, but then she's just angry, and then she goes away from the family for a while, and then she comes back and rinse and repeat. Sarah, is that a fair summary of what you were sharing with us, or did I miss anything?
Excellent summary.
Okay, thank you. So, and she is getting help, and so that's good. But so with this situation, you said a couple of times now, and you said that the counselor also said, you know, there's nobody to be angry at. The anger, okay, and on everything that she's saying, you know, in fact, this the pop up that you heard over the break, where Lisa was talking about the emotional temperature scale. When she goes into that place that she's angry and lashing out, she's going into what we call the child self mindset. So the logical brain shuts off, and the emotional brain just takes over. And in that place, we'll just say a lot of stuff. Some of it may not even be true. And we may not even remember some of it later, depending on how emotionally overwrought we get.
We've all had those moments. If we're feeling really overwrought, maybe we have an argument with our spouse. The next day, we're like, we know we had the argument. We know we said some things. But when they say to us, you said this, we're like, I did. I don't even really remember those exact words because our brain just shuts down.
And so what you're describing is a problem of self-regulation, right? The pain of the abuse comes back. It hits her so hard that she just her thinking brain goes offline. And it's just this big ball of emotion that she just vents her spleen all over everybody as a way of feeling better. This is not a pretty metaphor, but I think it's an apt one. You know when we feel nauseated and we actually vomit, you know, we get all that stuff out. And then even if we're still sick, we feel better. A little bit. Oh, well, yeah. And it's the same kind of thing, you know, with this emotional catharsis, right? So how do you handle that? Well, what you need to be able to do is focus on the fact that you shouldn't respond so much to the content of what she's saying as much as you respond to the emotion. So because if she starts saying things like, well, you did this or you didn't do that or this or this and such, the more you get into the weeds with that, the more she's going to spin out. because that's just basically giving her fuel to the fire. The best thing to do in that situation is to understand that what she's saying boils down to, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it, right? And the specifics don't matter, right? What matters is being able to say, you know what, I just hear how hurt you are, and I hear how angry you are about the things that happened to you, and I'm right there with you. I'm hurting and I'm angry for you, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this. What is it that you need to do next to try to feel a little bit better, and how can I support you in that? And she'll probably go off, well, there's nothing you can do, Mom, because God doesn't care, and you don't care, and blah, 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 blah. I'm so sorry that you're feeling that way. That's got to be awful to feel like that. And I completely understand how angry you are and how hurting you are. What is one thing that you feel like you need to do even right now or in general that's going to help you feel a little bit more put together, help you feel a little bit more supported by me? What's even just the smallest thing that we could do to help you get to a better place? And how can I help you get there? So what you're doing is you're validating the emotion, you're redirecting to solutions. Even if the answer is, you know, she just needs 5 minutes by herself, or she needs, you know, whatever. It's not about solving the big problem. It's about how do we get her to a place where she feels a little bit better and a little bit better regulated right now? And how, if anything, can you play a role in getting her there? And you're going to have to just keep repeating that in different words over and over again, not responding to the content so much of what she's saying. Now, you know, if there's a specific question she really wants to know the answer for, I'm not suggesting you ignore her. But what I'm saying, the most important part of that message is not anything she's actually saying. It's not the content. It's the feeling. And so you validate the feeling and redirect towards solutions, and you keep doing that over and over again until that light bulb comes back on and she says, well, I guess what I kind of need is thus and such, or I guess you could really help me with this and that. And that's what you're looking for, right? You want to keep validating the feelings, but redirecting towards solutions while not getting too caught up in the content, because that just pours more fuel in the fire.
And then when she gets back to that thinking brain where she says, I guess I just need whatever. And that could be anything from, I just need 5 minutes to go wash my face, to I could use a walk together, to I really would like you to commit to family therapy with me. Whatever those things are, that's when you don't just say, well, you know, let's validate the feelings here. This is then, okay, how can we make that happen for you? And you move on to letting her take those steps with your support.
But, you know, it's true that there's nobody to be angry at, but she's not angry at somebody. She's angry about what happened to her.
Yeah.
You know, anger.
She's allowed to feel just,
and you've acknowledged that. I'm not saying that's a newsflash for you. You've acknowledged that to her. But I think, you know, since the message she's getting, part of the message she's getting is there's nobody to be angry at because everybody did what they were supposed to do after, you know, to deal with the original offense. She's angry at the injustice of what was done. And so even though she knows there's nobody, quote unquote, to be angry at per se, being able to validate those feelings and say, you know, you're right to be angry. This shouldn't have never have happened to you. And this was unjust, and it's awful. And I understand why you're angry. I totally get that. And I'm so sorry you're feeling that way. And I'm so sorry that you're kind of in this really powerless, awful place. What do you feel like you need to do right now to help get yourself to a little bit of a better place? And is there anything I can do to help you get there?
Because not only is she angry, and it is definitely coming out as rage, but she's in pain. She's scared. She went through something that took away all of her ability to control that situation and was victimized by somebody she was really supposed to be able to trust. And no matter what happens to us in life that makes us feel that way, when we have had a situation that makes us feel so disempowered and so vulnerable, whenever we start to feel vulnerable throughout the rest of our lives, that fear comes back up. The rage comes back up because we're angry that we couldn't defend ourselves and protect ourselves, and we're terrified something else can make us feel that way. And she's, you know, acknowledging this from like her 20s on. She's still a young woman, and there's a lot of scary stuff happening in her life. Suddenly she's entering the age where she has to empower herself to create her own life. So there are going to be those little triggers all the time that says, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I don't have the power to do this.
And it may not
I'm
have
not
anything to
safe.
Do with you. Like, you know, any of the,
exactly.
Like, even though she's
just
taking it out on you, she's taking it out on you, but it may not have anything to do with you. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with, right? Because, I mean, how could it not have anything to do with me? She's unloading, you know, both barrels on me. Well, it's because it's coming out of that hurt and it's coming out of that pain.
And
she could be calling you names. She could be going over the whole history of the relationship. But really what you don't want to, the only thing you want to hear is, Mom, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it.
And Sarah, the last image I want to give you of this to let you have the resolve, because, you know, as parents, we all go through this to some point or another, maybe not with the kind of trauma your child went through. But at a point where all of our children go through something that scares the nonsense out of them and they snarl back at us, even on a minor level. And it's very hard to not go into defensive mode ourselves. But if you can realize that this is coming out of fear, the fear of what she experienced and the fear of being that vulnerable again, try to picture her as the tiny baby that she used to be. When she would get scared, when she was alone in her crib, or something would happen, or she got a boo-boo, and she'd just be screaming and losing it on you. Why? Not because she was mad at you, not because you caused those things, but because she trusted you enough to be able to express those feelings. And that was her saying at a tiny little age, come and help me because I can't do this by myself. If you can kind of keep that image of that, that's who's yelling right now. That's who's screaming, just like she was when she was a tiny baby. And the real message is, help me, I'm scared. You might be able to stand it a little better. Hold that shield close to your heart.
It's a beautiful metaphor. I'm glad you could share that. Sarah, I hope that these suggestions will give you some ways forward. If there's more that we can do to support you personally through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do believe the suggestions we've made here on the air will at least give you a good sense of some of the next steps to take and how not to get caught up quite so much in the drama of it all.
And while you're asking her these questions, remember to be praying every day for her and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do to help my daughter?
Yeah, not just praying for her, but Lord, help me be the mom that she needs me to be. You know, help me know how to respond to her pain and in ways that help me be the best I can be and that call out the best in her as well.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the call, Sarah. And you know, what I said to Sarah, what I said to our previous caller, I want to hit this theme, right? Because when we get stuck, you know, we have a tendency to say, okay, Lord, you know, fix that situation, please. And that's a perfectly good prayer. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray that. You know, but we often forget, Lord, teach me how to respond to this situation. What do you want me to do about it? And not just the big thing, not just, you know, how do you want me to solve this once and for all? What's the next step you want me to take? Show me what I need to do now. It's like doing a math problem, right? You know, you want the whole answer to the math problem, but you got to work the steps. And the same thing is true in these big math problems of life. You know, God wants to sit down next to you and help you work the steps so that two things can happen. One, you can draw closer to him through the process. He's not just give you the answer and just let the relationship stay the way it was, but walk through it closer with you so that step by step by step, you can see, oh, I can trust him to lead me through this. But the second thing is that he wants to teach you how to grow and be strong in the face of all of that and be able to say, look, as God walked me through this step by step, I grew in strength. I grew in wisdom. I grew in the ability.
I grew in trust of him because he led me that one little step and I saw that he was right and he was with me. And then he led me the next tiny step and he was right and he was with me. Just like we teach our babies to walk, God wants to teach us to walk through these things with him.
So in any of the situations where you're feeling stuck, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a relationship problem, a personal struggle, something that's happened, the goal here is not just to say, okay, Lord, please fix that. Yes, of course we should pray that. But even more importantly, Lord, teach me how you want me to respond to this. You know, take it away if you can, but if you want me, if it's going to be here, show me what the next step is. Not just the big answer, but the next thing I can do to make a difference here, to even a small difference that allows me to bring out, to be my best self, that allows me to bring out the best in somebody else, that allows me to glorify you in some way. What would that even look like? Show me what that is and help me know what the next thing is to do. And by doing that, you know, that's how we start to get unstuck. You know, you might get frustrated. You might think this is taking longer than I wanted it to, and you might get angry or you might lose patience. You know, that's all normal. That's fine, right? But as long as you keep bringing that back to God and saying, okay, now, Lord, what's the next step? You're never going to feel stuck because you're always in that mode where you're being receptive to his grace and really puzzling it out with him. And you want to keep doing that until you find the answer. We'll talk more about how to unpack that for your situations when we come back after the break. Number is 877 877- 573-7825. Today's show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel stuck, as we're facing a problem in our life or relationships, and we're just not sure what to do about it. Or maybe our attempts to fix it haven't borne the fruit we were hoping it would. Don't settle. Let's talk about how you can connect more deeply with God's grace and be that effective instrument of grace and change in those situations and in those relationships. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, coming to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up.
Again, this verse kind of encapsulates everything we're talking about here. You know, another thing that tends to make us feel stuck is, I can't figure out how to solve the problem. I can't figure out the ultimate solution to this. But what St. Paul is talking about here in you know, his letter to the people of Galatia, he's saying we're not to be concerned with how the outcome. We're concerned with doing good in the situation we find ourselves in. And as we do that good in the moment, God will reveal the outcome in time. But if we but we need to focus on how can I respond to this in a way that allows me to be my best self, that allows me to challenge the other people involved to be their best, in other words, what St. Paul's saying, in doing good. And as I do that step by step by step, God leads us to the harvest. And he makes it clear where he wants us to go and what that outcome's going to look like. But when we stop, because he says, you know, if we do not give up, if we give up, if we stop and we just say, oh, I just have to settle, then we stop doing good. We stop trying to be our best self in response to the problem. We stop trying to challenge the other people involved to be their best selves. We stop asking, how can I glorify God in this? And we just sort of settle and get on with it. And then nothing's ever going to change. And we're not going to grow. But that's why St. Paul is reminding us that we want to focus on doing good in that next step so that God can lead us step by step to the harvest that he's promised. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about those situations in your life or relationships that are making you feel stuck today. Let's work it out together when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Looking for practical, faith-filled help to build the marriage you're longing for or become a more confident Catholic parent? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M for Catholic Households on Mission. The Catholic H-O-M app gives you daily coaching, creative tools, and real-life support to help your family thrive. Subscribe to the Catholic H-O-M app today and discover the path to a more rewarding, faith-filled family life.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel a little stuck, and we're not quite sure what to do, and maybe we're feeling a little tempted to settle. 877 573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Andrew, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hi. So I called because the previous caller kind of resonated with me. I'm kind of on the other side of the spectrum there. Like, I'm the person who's kind of at fault, I guess, or on the other side. I have had problems regulating anger since I'm very small, and just like regulating my emotions just because of a lot of things that happened during my childhood. Now I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful kids. But because of that, things have getting a little harder to regulate, because now I'm on my own and I kind of have that responsibility on top. It's never violent, but it's usually like outbursts after like silly fights, mainly self-harming, you know, like alcohol use, or like just bursting out of an argument. Everything blew up recently after like a pretty bad incident that led to hospitalization, and this kind
of whom, Andrew?
Counseling.
Andrew, who was hospitalized? Of yourself?
You were hospitalized. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, pretty bad nervous breakdown I had.
Okay.
I understand.
With this kind of.
And are you getting professional help now, Andrew?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. So you wanted. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I. That's the thing. Like, I've been doing much better since that happened, but I can notice that since now things have gone into like there is a problem that needs to be addressed professionally. My wife has taken.
And when you say professional help, are you seeing a psychiatrist for medication, or are you actually doing counseling as well? What just so I know what the situation
both.
Is.
Both of them.
Good. Yeah. All right. So you want to know how to regulate yourself better, especially when you're in disagreements with your wife, is what you were saying to our screener. Is that correct?
Yeah. More than that, even is I want to know how to be able to explain to her that it's not on her to regulate me, but it's my responsibility to do those things. Like,
okay. I think, you know, I would invite her to be part of your counseling because it would be an important thing for her to hear from the counselor, because it's not just your problem, right? My background is in family therapy, right? And one of the things they teach you in family therapy is the problem is never in a person. It's between the persons, right? In other words, it's, you know, how what I say to Lisa and how she responds to me, and then it becomes this cyclical thing. And so it's learning how to work with your counselor together. And she doesn't have to come to every session, but to periodically check in would be a really important process in the healing for both of you, I think.
I think you can confirm that, Andrew, because you're saying that a lot of this dysregulation was happening even in childhood because of issues in your childhood. So very much if you had been in a situation where your whole family had gotten some help to help you regulate or to help the situation that was causing the dysregulation, you might not be dealing with this now. So while it's very much on you to be doing this work, and I'm very glad you are, having your wife involved in this can change everything, not just for you and your marriage, but your whole family.
And you can know, you can work together to help her figure out what she can do and what she can't do, what she ought to do, what she shouldn't do. In terms of helping you regulate better, here's an exercise that I'd like to give you. In addition to whatever you're working on with your present counselor, and I want to encourage you to keep up with that. Every day, I want you to get a notebook, all right? And every day, as part of your prayer time in the morning, and if you don't have a prayer time in the morning, I want you to start getting one. So you give the day to God. All right, Lord, you know, I'm giving you the day, I'm giving you my anger, and I'm asking you to teach me how to handle this, how to respond to my anger in ways that actually glorify you and help me be my best self and bring about the best in others. And then when you sit down with your notebook, I want you to imagine the day ahead and think of the things that could frustrate you or irritate you and write them down. And then in the next columns, you're going to divide the notebook up into three columns. The first column is just that these are the things that I think could really frustrate me or upset me. Second column is, how do I normally respond to that? What are the things I usually do or say? Third column, this is how I want to respond to this, if I could respond to it gracefully. And your temptation is going to be to say, well, I shouldn't get angry. No, I want you to assume that you're going to be angry. Because angry things, you know, unpleasant things or unjust things cause anger, right? Or frustrating things are frustrating. So assume that you're going to feel that same anger. How would you express it in a way that was respectful, that was effective, that was proportionate, appropriate, and productive. Those are the three things you're looking for. Proportionate, appropriate, and productive. If you don't know, talk about it with your counselor. But I want you to be thinking about it every day and write those things out in that third column. And then I want you to look at that list the next day, mentally rehearse it, and then ask yourself, what things do I imagine could happen today that would frustrate me? Do the same exercise. Bring it back to prayer in the next morning. Do the exercise again. Mentally rehearse those scenarios. Because overcoming anger in a lot of ways is all about learning how to anticipate problems and rehearse how to handle them better. Not how to not feel about them, but how to imagine feeling as intensely as you do, but still managing it appropriately. What would you say? How would you act? How would you take your temperature down first? How would you then address the problem in a more solution-focused way? And when you feel stuck, that's what you talk with your counselor about. They're playing us out, so we got to go, but if there's more we can do to support you, Andrew, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are wanting to get unstuck in your life, let us help you at CatholicCounselors.com.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.